I think away from my purpose, I do think that a lot of, yes, majority of my lifestyle has nothing to do with my purpose, and it leaves me feeling very empty.
Okay.
So listening to you say your life is very, it's because like you're doing something you enjoy, you're living within your purpose. So I'm like, okay, that's where the disconnect is, number one.
It's what it is, actually. Okay. Because like I feel like I'm a very creative person. I thrive a lot in the creative space. I love it. That. Okay. I love it so much. It's like, I love it. Not Toyando, like the city.
Yeah.
And
Like Chakuma. Oh my God. The fruit markets.
Yeah.
I tell you, there's no fruit you will not find. Hi, it's Nicole, Mami Dearest.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time. Today we have a special guest. Woo! Yo, I'm so excited. Are we the only interview you have ever done? Please say yes. Please say
no,
yes. Please
we're
say
not. Yes. Yo, she's been on radio. She's been everywhere.
Yeah. Guys, but you guys are one of the coolest, and we haven't even started.
Really? Okay, really? Yeah, okay,
I can
okay,
tell
okay.
That's gonna be a
okay.
Good time.
Okay, she's okay, okay. That's time. Good. That's good. That's good.
I'm sweating. I can feel the sweat down my neck because I'm so excited.
Now you're making me nervous, guys.
No, we're not nervous. We're just excited. Okay. Like the first when they told us you'd be coming through, we're like, no, not the one we know.
Not another one. So for our audience who don't know who Poppy is, Poppy has the Poppy Show on TikTok where she travels. I love how she travels, like, you know, the hardcore traveling.
The real traveling
that we don't do, you know? And she actually lives with the communities. She actually interacts with the indigenous communities in the countries that she travels in, which I love so much. We actually get to see what it's like to actually be in that country and actually live in that country through your lens. And I love that you add a little bit of comedy in it as well. Like when I watch your videos, like you have like a whole skit or something, you're like, oh, my boyfriend. I saw that and I was like, ah! And I was like, how come? Because Poppy said she doesn't want to date. Wait, now Poppy has a boyfriend.
Quickly.
How are you, Poppy?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Kaya?
I'm all right. Okay. I'm all right. Doing good. Yeah. So you're here, you're in Gauteng. For how long? Not very long.
Literally a week, and then I have to move on with the show.
You're back on the road. When do you think you're going to finish SA? Because I feel like you're a very quick traveler. You don't stay
in
one place.
I'm aiming for 15th of April, because I get tired after like 3 months. So the season started on 15 Jan. Mm-hmm. So around 15 April, end April latest, I should be wrapping up.
I saw you travel 8 months, right? 8-9 months?
Yeah, but no, that's in the past. I don't want to do that anymore. But the previous 2 years, 8-9 months out of the year.
Because it's like the burnout. How are you doing it?
This year, I'm aiming for 6. Yeah, 6 will do.
And then the remainder is just rest.
Yes, rest. And other projects. Because I have other projects that I do behind the scenes.
Yes.
So those projects should be able to sustain me.
Okay. What were you asking about behind the scenes when Tato said stop talking?
You know, I think how was the hostel?
Yes. How was the hostel?
The hostel was amazing, you guys. So really? I went in there with preconceptions of, you know, hostel life, the type of people who live in hostels, etc., the culture. But actually, Amanda who live in hostels are just like you and me. They go to bed at 9 p.m.
So early.
They up in the morning. They go to work. They are a productive people, and they are a people who live peacefully among one another.
Yeah.
So that was an eye-opener for me. Just that they don't necessarily have the resources. Maybe they don't have rent or they can't pay rent and take kids to school. Mm-hmm. So it's that type of thing. But yeah, for the most part, it was amazing, actually. Nothing bad to say, honestly. Yeah.
Also from your coverage of being a hostel, they seem to be very accommodating as well. Because you
Very kind people. I mean, by the time I left, I had people coming to my unit to visit me. Mm-hmm. And even now that I've left, you know, people are still coming looking for me. They were very happy to see themselves on TikTok. Like, those folks are proud of themselves. They're proud of where they are, who they are. Yeah. You know, no matter where they are, they're proud of who they are. And they're proud of their space. Mm-hmm. They respect that space. Yeah. They don't look down upon it. So I thought that was really, that was good.
You know, one thing I love about your show is you get to appreciate where you are, and also get to appreciate how other people are living. Mm-hmm. And you become very conscious about how other people are living, you know. Like, when I was watching your series in Congo and everything in the Congo, I was like, yo, I'm not getting a new phone. I'm not getting a new anytime soon.
Thank you for saying that.
Mm. Because it made me realize that for your convenience and for your luxury and for you to enjoy your life and have Netflix, and somebody else is suffering. And I was like, and you showed it in such a beautiful way, in such an organic way. Like, I loved that series. That's why I was so excited to have you on our couch.
Yeah.
I was very, very excited. And then you told me outside that you did industrial engineering.
I did industrial engineering.
Like, oh my God, that's such a contrast.
Yeah, to what I'm doing
now. To what you're doing now. Yeah. How did it start? Like, how did you...
That's the question I actually wanted to ask. Like, when
did I start? Yeah. Okay, so I was a business analyst. That got boring, and it was just too stressful. Corporate was too stressful for me. So I moved to China to teach English. Now that was too simple. I felt like I wasn't being utilized enough. You know, my brain power wasn't being utilized. So then I thought, well, I took a road trip from South Africa to Kenya in 2019, posted it on Instagram. My audience really took to it. And I was like, there's something here. People really enjoy watching my travels. And then when COVID hit in 2020 and my school said they wouldn't pay because we were in lockdown, so they had a policy, no work, no pay. I'm like, but it's not my fault. But anyway, I thought, well, let me go home and travel. You know, I think I can make something out of my travels. And yeah, that's what I did. And here we are today.
You've been traveling since.
I've been traveling ever since. Yes.
That's the voice. What I enjoy about your travels as well is that you want to live like the locals. Definitely. And you want to submerge yourself into the culture and know the nitty-gritties, every little bit of it. You learn the language, you eat the food, you live with the people, which is very entertaining to watch. But I want to know, like, can that be daunting at times?
I think maybe in the beginning it was a shock because I come from a middle-class family, but most of the families that I visit are on the lower end. So the diet that they eat, it's usually very simple stuff, nothing fancy. So in the beginning, it was a bit of a shock and a getting used to. But now I already know what to expect. I'm rolling up my sleeves. I'm ready. Let's go. I can't wait to be with the people and do whatever they're doing. Yeah, so I'm getting used to it.
You spoke about the diet they eat. So yeah. I'm sure you've been in the soil and you've been farming. And how's that experience?
I actually find that most of the families that I visit don't incorporate vegetables into their diet.
Really?
It's usually just pap and maybe spinach.
Okay.
You know, they're not really big on diversifying the diet. So you would really think folks are like super healthy out there.
Yeah.
Greens and oranges. No. It's a weird, it's actually quite diet, weird. Maybe. Yeah, very.
Is it because it's not easy to cultivate and to farm?
Maybe, I think so. I think those lands or the easiest crop to grow, the most successful one is probably mealies. And that's what they grind to make mealie meal.
Yes.
That's where the pap comes from. And then a bit of green and then that's it.
That's it.
So you hardly get, I mean, potatoes, pumpkin.
Yeah.
In the DRC, I've never seen pumpkin.
What?
Not once.
I thought that because I have Congolese friends and their diet is very green to me, like pondu is very green.
Yeah, yes.
All of that and most of their meals. And I'm just like, okay, you guys will find a pondu,
which is a leaf, right? Yeah. But have you ever seen orange? Okay. Have you ever seen beetroot?
No.
Yeah. So it will be fish, pondu, and rice. So fish, pondu, pap.
Yes, they're also very
good. They call it, yeah.
Before we move into our life update, because we haven't really asked you how you are.
Yeah.
One more thing that really concerns me about your travels too, Pavi, is your fascination with the spiritual world.
Oh, yo!
I'm so obsessed, guys!
But I am so concerned for you, Pavi.
I can't resist it.
You really need to, whatever voodoo type of voodoo.
Everything, I'm in there. And I'm like, I'm participating. I'm not even watching from the
sidelines.
No,
you're in there, no reservations, nothing. What do you mean by you can't resist it? Like, is it like an interest?
I'm so fascinated by it.
Yeah.
And I think the fascination is, will it work on me?
Uh-huh.
How will it change my life, you know? So I'm always consulting izangoma, shamans, priestesses. I'm like, oh, Lord. Hey, guys, yeah. I really like, enjoy it.
Anything negative as a result?
No.
Really?
To the point where I then think, oh, it doesn't work. Like, nothing, has anything good happened? No, the problem is my life is generally good.
Yes.
Good vibes, good energy.
Yes.
So maybe good things do come from my consultations, but because my life is already good, I don't notice.
Yeah. Mm.
But then nothing bad has happened either. So in my head, these things don't work.
Uh-huh. I can't. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, even the attitude I go into
yes. them
with, yeah. I'm always like, it's not going to work, but let's have fun.
Yeah.
It has worked yeah. recently.
Yeah, no. Recently,
The things.
Slanganad. Yeah, no.
Usalile Tegwin, yen.
Oh, brothers. Yes, usalile Tegwin. But it's on Bana soon. No, like I'm going to visit.
So you're going to go back and forth.
Yeah. But I don't know if back and forth. But yeah, I'm going to just one more visit. And then
that is a lot of blushing. That's the most blushing you've done the whole
time. Oh, really?
Yes.
Like, I did such a contrast to the person, like, people ask me how do I date. I don't even believe in having a family, having children. Yeah. So boring. That's the loss.
Yeah.
So how has that changed? Because I saw that video was like a year or 2 years ago. How has that changed that mindset?
I don't know. I think as I'm growing older, I'm warming up to the, not children yet, but the idea of a partner, a life partner. Mm. I'm warming up to that. Children, not so much. But yeah, I want to take it one step at a time. So first life partner, then we'll feel the vibes.
Yes. Okay, now it's like, okay, your actual life update. How are you?
Yes. Exhausted. Yeah, I'm exhausted. The road is exhausting. And as I'm growing older, I'm getting more tired easily. The thing with the show is it's growing, meaning there's a lot of things going on in the background as well that require my mental capacity. So I find that then that weighs on me physically as well. So I'm getting tired more often now to the point where a cycle of close friends has 2 weeks, runs for 2 weeks. I'm actually thinking of going 1 week on, 1 week off, 1 week on, just to rest. I need to rest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You do. So the exhaustion is just work-wise?
Yeah, no, it's just work-wise. Yeah, work-wise.
Mentally?
Good. No, I'm good.
Right.
Emotionally, great. Like, I'm good, Shem, guys.
Right.
Nothing okay. else. Yeah, okay. Just work. Yeah.
Oh, wow. This was such a great life update. Really honestly. You're very wise. I'm actually very excited to see you.
Like, I'm so awake and alive now.
This conversation is going
to
go.
After this, I'm going to quit doing this and quit doing that. And I'm actually going to do this. And I'm going to
like
be
that.
Happy.
You go, girl.
See,
I am making no promises. Okay, so then the girl chat topic is the greenest place you've ever been.
Okay.
And then the first question is, what is the most breathtaking natural landscape you have ever visited?
It must be Gabon. I have a thing for Gabon.
Mm-hmm. Where's Gabon?
Gabon is in Central Africa.
Okay.
So it's mostly forest and water and wildlife. Like, it's a very underdeveloped country. I think there's only one.
China?
Yes. There's only one major city, which is Libreville, the capital.
Mm-hmm.
The rest are small towns. So it's very green. It's very lush.
Mm.
People still live in nature, you know.
Mm.
So it's very villagey. And Gabon is mostly forest. So the villages are set between forests.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they still eat off the land, live off the land. Like, it's, yeah, I'm obsessed with Gabon.
What I was surprised to know was that you fund majority of your traveling through doing farm work.
Yes, a lot of it
I did not know that.
I actually also didn't notice.
Really?
Actually, yeah, but
what
now,
did you notice?
As I'm doing more of it, I'm noticing, I tend to be out in the farms.
Yes.
Whether it's commercial or subsistence.
Uh-huh.
I tend to focus on slow living, natural stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
You do, you feel
I think
you
it's
do.
Because that's the living that I enjoy.
Uh-huh.
So I'm working towards that. So when I've made my coins, guys.
You're going to have a farm?
I'm going into the forest of Gabon. That's where I'm building a cabin. You will never hear from me again.
Oh my gosh, you and I heard
of that's the life she wants to live. Like, she wants to live off the soil.
Off the grid.
She wants, like, no self, no nothing.
Nothing,
like, I have to go and find a network somewhere very far for you to get a hold of me.
Perfect, yes.
And I saw you did that form of traveling when you were in South America.
Yes,
where you switched, where you did it, like, off the grid.
Oh, yes. yes, yes, I remember. Brazil. I decided not to buy a SIM card because I wanted to communicate with people. I wanted to not learn the language per se, but hear it, listen to it, and try figure out what are people saying. You know, not always be on my phone.
Yes.
So yeah, that was interesting. I enjoyed it.
Not us reminding and, you of and, things that you've done.
And that's so crazy. And your goal was to get to like the Amazon, if I'm not mistaken.
It was, yes.
How is the Amazon? You've already told us you like Amazon. How is the Amazon? I really want to go.
It was quiet, and the people were very intentional. So the family that I visited wasn't deep in the Amazon. Mm-hmm. They were actually on the outskirts, like just on the border with town. So they have access to cell phones and everything, clothes, everything. Like they have access. But they are very intentional about not leaving the forest and going to live in the city because they want to conserve the forest. They want to conserve nature. Mm-hmm. And they... In order to do that, they're going to have to stay there and teach future generations.
How to do...
So it was very eye-opening. They don't have to be there. They have the resources to leave, go find jobs in the city, but they choose to be there. So that, for me, was very interesting.
Wow.
Awesome. So what are... Let's bring it home, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you learned doing farm work that we can bring here, that are sustainable ways to live here?
So I recently went on a farm tour with Woolworths just to find out how Woolies sources their vegetables. So I went on a farm that produces carrots and beetroot for Woolies. Mm-hmm. And some of the things I learned on the farm is that they're trying to farm in a very sustainable way because they want us to be able to have food for the future. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So we can't just... be irresponsible now and think for now. So they've started thinking for the future. Mm-hmm. And some of the ways that they do that is they're very pedantic about reducing food waste. So on that farm, any of the vegetables that are considered rejects, so because they look a certain way and consumers wouldn't find them pretty and wouldn't buy them, they turn those into other products. So they turn them into juice. They turn them into crisps. I had the most beautiful beetroot crisps recently and sweet potato crisps.
Uh-huh.
And those came from so-called rejects or the ones that they can't sell. Uh-huh. And one thing the farmer said was, we need to rethink the way that we perceive food and how food should look.
Yeah.
Food is a natural product.
It's not supposed to be perfect.
Yeah. You know? So now the ones that aren't perfect, we tend to throw away or just not use them properly. So what they've done is they are creating brand new products to use the ones that they can't sell.
That's lovely.
And turn them into something valuable still.
Yeah.
That's something we can take at home. Like if you don't like maybe... Oh, I can't eat this apple like this because it looks this way.
Yeah, because it looks dented.
Maybe
and
make
bruised.
A puree out of it. Exactly. Like cut it up and grill it with a pie with some cinnamon. So using what you would say, okay, actually I can't eat it like this.
Yeah.
And trying and using it in a different way.
Yes, definitely.
And this thing of like, oh, taking food and just throwing it away.
Yeah. It's not on. Another thing I learned, something valuable on the farm, was that they reuse water. So the water that they use to wash the vegetables, they actually, it goes through a filtration process into a dam, and then they take the water in that dam to irrigate the fields again.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing is wasted. They have a very zero waste policy. Mm-hmm. You're saving water, reusing water. They're very good at that. So it was very impressive, and it gave me hope for the future that there are people who are actively working to make sure that we have food in the future, that the planet is a healthy place for us to still exist for many more generations to come.
What's the most greenest place or the most prettiest place you've ever visited?
Okay, I can answer that now. Just one more thing that I also found interesting about Woolies Farms is that, so in school, we were educated on the harmful impact that alien plants have on the environment.
Yes, yes, yes.
And when I found out that they use alien plants as compost for their vegetable farms, I was just like,
yeah.
What? That's so interesting.
Yeah.
You're killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
You're removing something that's harmful to the environment, and then you're using it as compost. That's lovely.
Yeah. to regenerate
the earth. I think my thumb is turning
green.
The most, what's the question?
The most greenest place you've ever visited. The greenest
place I've ever visited, like I said, was Mozambique. Mm-hmm. And green in their lifestyle, mostly. The scenery is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the people are lovely people. Yes. But the way that they live also is very sustainable to me. I visited a friend whose family is based in Mars. She's here with her immediate family. And everybody has some kind of vegetation in their backyard.
Yes, everybody. It's a lifestyle.
They've got the lettuce there is different, guys. The bread, they bake it in the morning. Veggies, most of the veggies are found in the garden. The food that they eat is mostly grown in the backyard, or they ask a neighbor or whatever the case may be. They also minimize use of hot water, which minimizes use of electricity as well. Yes. So that for me was, it was so eye-opening. And even the way that they travel, less people have cars on that end. So everybody travels together. Yes. If a family has a car, it's a family car. It's not 3-4 small cars. It's like a van. And they all travel to the same place. It will be like their own at-home taxi, which is lovely. And they also have a lot of mountains in Mars as well. The greenery is very lush, very full.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I love Mars. I love. Mm-hmm. I think even the food that I ate was so fresh the time. Yeah. And I was like, I'm eating fake stuff then in Joburg.
Where you're from.
Where I'm from, everything is just frozen, you know? And in Mars, if you're having a burger, the patty is made then and there.
Yes.
And
such prawns are freshly caught. They have the best. Those garlic butter, I think.
Yes. Beautiful. The prawns are
I need to leave this country.
And the thing is, here, to buy prawns, expensive.
There, it's nothing.
You can have prawns, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm like, this is the life. This is the life. So, Mars.
Mars. The love of your life.
Golly.
I've never left South Africa.
Yeah.
I need to change that because I really want to travel. So for me, the greenest place I've ever visited is where I'm from. I'm Venda.
Ooh,
so Venda is the greenest place I've ever visited. I've been to many provinces in this country. None as green as Limpopo, Venda specifically. And my father's village is in the mountains, Mavunde.
You guys, like, there's a running joke in South Africa that you guys just have mangoes growing everywhere. Like, if you want mangoes, just go to Venda.
Yes.
Avocados. Back from Venda with big avocados.
I would say it's the truth.
It's the truth.
Every house has a mango tree.
Yes.
You literally wake up in the morning and you take a stick and then
you beat it down.
But you don't be too greedy because you're running, the running stomach you're going to have. You're going to have a really...
Thingies,
I'm telling you, leeches on the guys, leeches. Do you understand? These things
are so expensive
in Joburg. Do you know when I go to Venda Mafunde, I come back with bags of leeches because you just pick them from the trees. From the bush. You pick it from the bush.
You can't tell me that's not how you want to live.
And then avocados as well. It's right there.
Yeah.
Millie is right there. Bananas are right there. I've seen everything being grown in person. That's the greenest place I've ever been. Like, I literally even have like a YouTube video on like my YouTube channel. It's like a city girl in the village. Mm-hmm. And I was literally helping my grandmother plow. So she does not buy maize meal. She uses mealies. And then they actually, you see it go in the sun, the whole process and everything like that. And oh my God, like... No, that is, it's very green.
I think when I'm in Limpopo then, I should visit Venda. Mm-hmm. You've just given me an idea, like maybe I should focus on the food. So homegrown food.
Yes.
Like from the beginning, maybe we'll focus on mealies. How we grow our own food from the beginning. They teach me how,
they teach you how that it stays in the sun for a while. When it's dry, that's when you crush it. And then the whole process. Nice process. And then everything, even bananas. I've seen bananas grow.
Your granny should host me, actually.
I'll tell her.
Done.
I'll done. Tell. When you want to go, I'll let her know. And you will live the real life.
Yeah,
the
real. Excited,
you will walk.
the
real vendor life. Still heart life. You will live the real. Zerani is very still to the back. So yes, backdated. So it's very much you are living from the soil.
That's going to be so awesome.
I love it. Okay. I love it so much. It's like, I love it. Not Toyando, like the city.
Yeah.
And
Okay. Chakuma. Oh my God. The fruit markets. Yeah. I tell you, there's no fruit you will not find.
Yeah.
There's no veg, and it's grown. These people grew them. They're not using pesticides. They're not using fertilizers that are like,
yeah.
And the soil, rich. Rich.
You see how other people feel about like designer this, designer that, and then their eyes are so dull. This is how I feel about this life. Like, same. I'm just like, oh my God, this is
the life. Yeah.
This is it. Like, that's exactly how I want to live. Oh, I got some work to do.
Yeah.
I have some learning to do as well, because definitely, I don't know what to do with mealies once you harvest it.
Even
like, I need
planting
to learn
them, there's a whole process. You don't plant one. You plant two in each hole in case the other one doesn't. So it's a whole process. I was literally planting with my grandmother. You first opened
those. To see
I'm telling you, it's such a crazy process, and they know so much. Like, they have so much. They didn't go to school, but they are knowledgeable.
So much knowledge.
They are knowledgeable. And I'm just like, my grandma's like, why are you throwing one? I had to go back and throw two in each hole, because she told me that no. And I was like, oh, that's smart.
I'm excited. I'm giving myself 3 years
to go and then try village life.
Yeah. 3 years.
Go learn.
And then by the time I have my own farm.
Exactly. You already. Yeah.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, what are then your dream destinations then?
Oh.
Ooh.
Your dream destinations.
Honestly, I've done my dream destinations. What? So, yeah.
You're the jealousy from this couch.
But this is the thing. I didn't know those were my dream destinations. Oh. But looking back, Benin, I mean, you know, I went to a village inside of a lake in Benin where people only use boats. There's nowhere to walk. That. You know, and they practice voodoo, so that was a highlight. you know, and the DRC, my favorite country in the world.
Yeah.
So beautiful. There's so much happening in the DRC, HM. So, yeah, those are my dream destinations.
And
yeah,
you even know a little bit of French.
Yes,
you
do. Yes.
Even when you're communicating with the
moto.
The moto guys. Yeah. And you're like,
yeah,
I'm just like, girl, where did you learn this? How many times have you been?
You at DRC? Maybe 4 times.
Wow.
I try go every year. Wow. I try go every year.
That's how much you love it.
I low-key want to be a Congolese girlie.
I'm trying to. You're actually on your way there. Because the fact that you can compare different kinds of pondu and say this one is better than this one, and that one is better than you're in there.
Yeah.
I got it inside.
No, my dream destination, I hope you've been so you can tell me whether it's worth going.
Okay.
Is Bali.
No, I haven't.
It's not. You've never been?
No. I've done Phuket and I feel that's enough.
Oh, you've
yeah,
done
enough.
Yeah,
I don't want to do all of them. For me, they're the same.
Okay.
Asia tends to be the same. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure it's great. I mean, everyone who's been says it's amazing.
I think it's not necessarily my dream destination, because I really don't know what is my dream destination. Mm-hmm. It's just the first destination I want to go outside of Africa.
Yes, makes sense.
It's Bali, because the vegetation, I want to use the scooters. I want to, you know, I want to experience
the rice fields.
I want to experience all of that. What's yours?
I think mine is going to be a stark contrast to what we've been talking about. Because at the same time, I do want to like live, you know.
Yeah, but you like the bougie stuff.
No, not that I like the bougie stuff. I'm a fashion enthusiast. So the fashion capital of the world is Tokyo.
Oh, really? Tokyo. Let's go to Tokyo, girl.
Tokyo fashion, oh my word. And not a lot of people know this. They think it's Paris.
Yes, I thought you were saying Milan or something.
No, it's actually Tokyo.
I actually would like, yeah, Japan is also a dream for me.
I would
Japan.
Love.
You've never been?
Never been to Japan.
Oh,
never
please.
Been.
Tell us when you go so that we can go with you, so that we can live the life.
I can take you guys to the backwoods.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be the worst backwards traveler you have, because I'm going to be like, hi, I'm 40. Why are you taking me
there? No, you can enjoy it so much. It's so fun. Yeah.
We'll see.
Oh.
We'll see. We'll need to
mentally prepare. You guys overthinking it.
I think I don't have the appetite for risk. You need to have a risk appetite.
Yeah. And I'm like, I give up very easily. So like any little
inconvenience.
I'm just because like I find that you're also very resilient. The time when they really closed the borders during the elections, I'm just like, okay, get out of there now, right? And you're like, no, I'll wait a few days.
I mean, I'll technically, Chum, I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
So I did try to catch a flight. There were no flights available.
Okay.
But also, I was safe. I had a host family. Like, everything was good, guys.
Yeah.
It wasn't violent.
Yeah.
It was very peaceful. Just that the higher ups, they were discussing whatever they were discussing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the rest of us just waited it out. And within a week, the borders were open. We left. Done.
A week. Okay. Within that week, I would have been in mental turmoil.
Really? I had a bae also.
You are chilling.
I was chilling. Because it was like more time with my guy.
Oh, it makes so much sense. Obviously, if you have a bae, bae makes everything easier.
Yeah,
it does. I'm staying next week. No, a holler.
It's just me and mommy. Even if we're in the boondos, Okay, so let's go into our game quickly.
Yeah.
So we can actually go deeply into like what Woolies is doing and everything they do. So let's go into the game. So the game is called, what's the name of this game? It's called Farm or Fiction.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you guys a question and you've got to tell me whether it's fiction or if it's farm.
Okay.
Farm meaning it's truth, fiction meaning it's false.
Okay.
Okay, are you guys ready?
To answer, do we need to say our names? So if Poppy wants to answer, she's Poppy.
Like yeah. Poppy.
Okay.
Hi. Whoever answers first. Okay. Like, I don't know. Whoever says first. I don't know how it's going to work.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Wait. So if I want to answer, I say Poppy.
Yes.
Then I answer.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't just shout out the answer.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. Organic farms can produce just as much food as conventional farms if managed correctly.
Kai. False. Fiction. Yeah.
Sadly... it's farm.
So does the point go to me?
Yeah.
No.
Because you lost the point. Why did you papa?
What? That wasn't discussed in the rule. I chose fiction because it would make sense for, you know, the commercial farms?
Mm-hmm.
They use a lot of, majority of the ones that we know about use a lot of, What are they called?
The fertilizers, what?
Pesticides.
Yes.
The pesticides.
Pesticides, insecticides, all of that stuff. And that will, usually when they produce that much fruit, it would need more of that. And then organic farms don't use that much.
But then you know what Woolies is doing to actually like combat? I saw, guys, there's this thing that Woolies has. Wait, let me find the name for you guys. It's called the app. This apple can save the world. So it's like a website. It'll be in our description. And you learn so much about how Woolies is actually, how they actually farm. And the manner in which they farm, like they can produce as much, but they do it in such a smart way.
Oh.
So for instance, if there's a lot of pests, like pest control, instead of like releasing pesticides, what they then do is release more, a different type of insect that eats the pests.
Yeah.
You know? And when you release pesticides, what you do is you kill other insects that aren't harming
that are actually contributing
to the health of the fruit. Yes.
Wow.
So they release others to kill the pest. So it literally, you can operate in the exact same way.
There's always something in nature to combat something else that is bad. For instance, the farm that I visited, they also grow onions. So actually they grow quite a few things. But when they want to do crop rotation, so crop rotation is when they change from one crop to the next in order to give the land a break because the land needs to rest as well.
Mm-hmm.
They'll actually let sheep into the field to eat up anything that's left over from the harvest. So you can't... so it's good to really to clear the land and not leave any leftover vegetables on it. Otherwise... they will rot, and the rot can actually cause disease.
Mm.
So instead of maybe coming up with something to spray the land to kill the disease that might be caused by leftover vegetables, they actually bring out sheep, and the sheep literally clean the land. They eat everything that's left over. And then in turn, the bowel movement, the manure from the sheep, f- fertilizes the land naturally.
What?
Yeah. So there's always something natural to combat another natural,
yeah,
unwanted process.
That's why they said if managed correctly, they can produce the same level. Mm.
You said if managed correctly?
Yeah. That
I
was
need to listen carefully
that
now.
That was if managed correctly.
I need to listen more carefully. I was just like, I need to answer.
Okay, next one. All plants grown in the wild naturally thrive without any human intervention.
Bobby. Farm.
Fiction.
Really? And I was about to say farm too, because that makes so much sense. If you just leave the thing alone.
I mean, how did it come about in the beginning, you know?
Exactly.
It's not like we manufactured them.
I really don't understand. I guess if human beings treat the environment in which they live in properly, we could actually cause more vegetation to thrive instead of harming it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It would make sense. Because even our feces is fertilizer. Even it us is. Coming and eating is...
I was actually asking the farmer, why don't we use our human waste as fertilizer? And he said, there's just something, I think, in our gut.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, like acids.
And then I think it was more so, though, our diet. Like, we take pills, we take medication... Uh-huh. And also just processed food, you know, all those chemicals, that MSG, this, that, and the other.
That makes sense.
But I think...
If we were eating
like sheep eat,
yes,
we should be able to
fertilize
using our... I don't know, though. Don't quote me on this
one. I would
one.
Never... Even when I have my own farm and I know I'm eating out there and I know I ain't taking no medication, I'm not using my own feces.
Because of mentally, you know.
Yeah, the thing is, I know. Maybe somebody else does it and I don't know.
Mm. Okay, this one. Vertical farming allows crops to be grown in stacked layers, maximizing space and resources.
And I actually, on my farm visit, I went to the apple orchard and I actually got to see that in real time. So the apples that grew at the bottom of the tree, they got bigger first, and so they would be harvested first. And the ones at the top were a bit small still, so they'd wait for them to grow, then they'd take them out. And I think by the time they're taking these ones out,
it
maximizes space.
That is genius.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, can you see how we are farming for the future?
I'm telling you.
Oh my God, Woolies.
I'm going to be a farmer for
now
the
Now I'm going to be a Woolies gully through and through. Because I know through, that what I'm eating was farmed in the right way.
Sustainably farmed.
Okay, so this isn't the last one. Mm-hmm. Or should I give you guys two more chances?
Two more, because you know, it's
it might
tie.
Be a tie. It might be a tie, though. You leading. No, you leading.
Okay, we can close the game.
That's all for today.
No. Two more. Crop rotation helps improve soil health and reduce pest.
Fire.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Farm. Yeah. She literally just said it.
I had to take
to
that
back. I was kind of giving it to Bobby.
Yeah. Because I mean, I gave the answer already.
I'll be in the suitcase. I'm leaving you. Okay, the last one. All fruits and vegetables can be grown in polar climates with the right technology.
False.
Yes! I wish you said farm.
Can I tell you how I know that?
Okay, how?
So, during my farm visit, the farmer said frost. So some vegetables don't survive in frost. So like pumpkins don't do well in frost. Mm-hmm. And his farm in Lostertrif Agriculture. No, sorry. What's the name of the farm? Lostertrif Agri in series gets a lot of frost. So he said one of the reasons he doesn't grow pumpkin or doesn't like to is because of frost. So when you said not everything can be grown in just any climate, some make it, some don't make it. But for anyone who's watching who does live in a frosty area and would like to know how to combat frost, he said you need to build on a high land and on the sort of edge of a cliff so that the frost doesn't settle. It goes down. Yeah. He said that helps.
Bro, yeah. Farmers are so smart.
Like, I now want to go to a farm. I want to go to a wheat farm.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I want to visit because
it's such an eye-opening experience.
Oh my God, there's so much you can learn.
Yeah, I did not think of that. That is actually so smart. Mm. On a slope like that.
He was like, try not to grow in a frosty area, you know?
But then if you
but
can't...
But if you must, then do this.
This is what you can do.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay, that's it for the game.
Fine, probably win.
Yeah, she did win.
Congratulations, Poppy.
Thank you.
I'm celebrating deep down because I'm glad I was the game master. Because yeah, I had to guess this.
But this is better than like we for the first part of March.
Yeah,
we're doing human rights. So like we were focusing on activists and things like we lost every single game.
Who are you playing against?
Each other and some of the other guests that we had here, and it was just
no.
So this segment. I'm glad that I did decent.
No, you did.
You did.
And
I guess it's like
my
also
future.
Applying a little bit of common knowledge to it. Because when you think about it, that makes sense. Like what the farmer
like,
said.
About it's not at the top of your mind, you know?
Yeah.
Because
I'll be honest, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. But when you actually think about it, you're like,
it actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so our long topic, which is not going to be that long, but I feel like we've spoken about so many things already in this episode, is the future of food. What's on your plate in 2050? What's going to be on your plate in 2050? And the first thing is, how farming is changing to be more sustainable? Have you seen this in your travels? So you have like a lot to say about this.
Yeah.
Like you've already told us about the farm that you went to, the Woolies farm. So
no, definitely, I think we're waking up to the fact that if we are to save the planet, we need to do things that are going to leave it in better condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I see people doing that a lot. I mean, every country that I go to, I always meet sustainable farmers from Kenya to the DRC, you know. I can see that there's a shift. People are really putting their backs into investing in sustainability.
One of the things that stuck with me about Woolies Farming for the Future initiative was that they emphasize on treating the environment as an ecosystem, where it's like, instead of treating it like a factory. And I think that is such a sustainable way of thinking in general, not to continuously extract from the earth, but know that it's giving and we should give back, which is lovely.
So what they do is they look at four pillars: carbon, soil, water, biodiversity.
Yes.
So if you decrease your carbon footprint and take care of the soil and the water, naturally the biodiversity will thrive. And at the farm where I was, the farmer said blue cranes have actually started coming back. And one of the reasons could be that the water is so healthy. So they're treating the water, they're reusing it, they're not just polluting it and leaving it and hoping it will go away. So blue cranes are coming back. Wonderful. The water has frogs and fish.
Yeah.
And that just shows that they're doing something right. The water is healthy.
That's beautiful.
And I'm noticing that even in your travels, I don't know if you're aware of it, if you're conscious of it, but the way you choose to travel is actually very sustainable. The carbon footprint you give is very low because you walk, you use the bus or train. Like I literally saw a video where you were asking specifically for rail or road when you wanted to travel.
Yes.
And I'm just like,
I'm conscious, especially this season. So I did do quite a bit of flying last season because South America was huge.
Mm.
I started off with road and then I saw that it's just not sustainable for the pace at which I'm going.
Mm.
But then this season, hitchhiking across South Africa, I'm very intentional. Mm. Has to be road. Mm. So I hitchhike to share space with other people in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
I take buses to share space, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that road, I think, I mean, I don't know, honestly, scientifically, but I think road travel is more...
Actually, flying takes a lot of fossil fuel, a lot of fuel, a lot of petrol and diesel compared to road. But the problem is everybody wants a car in this generation,
which then becomes the same. Yeah,
but like
true.
When you live in countries where like trains are mostly used and people are traveling either by road or rail or trains, then I feel like their carbon footprint would naturally be lower.
Yes.
In South
cycling,
Africa,
we don't really cycle.
We don't cycle. Like in Belgium,
we don't have the infrastructure.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's
fair. We don't really have the infrastructure.
In Belgium, my friend, her boyfriend is from Belgium, and he was so surprised at how, like, we're always driving.
Yeah,
we're
always in the Uber.
Everybody has a car. Like, he was so confused by that idea. He said that they cycle, like, he would go to the club with a bicycle.
Exactly.
And it's normal. And then you cycle back to your hotel. Like,
imagine cycling back drunk. Sorry.
Literally. And they have the best drunk stories with their little cycling thing. And I'm like,
have you guys seen those videos? I don't know which country this is, but the people allow the water to carry them home. What? So on their way to work, they use whatever they use, bicycles, buses, trains, whatever. But on their way home, they get into the water and lie on their backs and allow the current to
take them home. I've actually seen that with their plastic bags and their whatever, their raincoats.
Yeah.
And I actually have seen that.
No, how sustainable
is that? It was so strange. And I was like,
yeah.
But imagine how much, number one, imagine how much money you're saving. Imagine how much fuel you're
How
using,
fun it is.
How also, fun
how
it
social.
Is.
Yes.
I'm sure it's a social activity. Because while you lie on your back and let the current take, you're chatting, you're laughing. Some maybe even swim home. So you're also exercising, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was very
actually
cool.
So lovely.
And now I'm very conscious of one thing. Do I want a car? Do I need a car?
That's what I'm thinking about.
Because now I'm starting
to
think, you know, this conversation around like opened my eyes to so many things. Like even like with water, like, you know, this thing, you know how it irks me when someone leaves the tap open?
Yeah.
Like someone, people who leave the shower open and then go and then come back while the water, while the water's still running.
Guys,
that thing,
I
and
don't like
you
that.
See that in res a lot. In res, you see abandon. How unsustainably people are living. Like, if the water's always running. Like, someone will leave the tap. Oh, and you're like, and then I go and, it's habit. I go close the tap.
Same. Yeah. Or when there's no water, when water has left for a bit, people will
open,
that there's no water, and not then, close it. So that when the water comes back, it's gushing down.
Now you're flooding and everything.
So I think
like
we need to change the way we think. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I've started doing. So I know that in South Africa, having a car is a status symbol.
Mm.
But I think if we can change how we view status and success, the markers of success. Because Ukaya asked me, how many phones have you had since you started traveling? Mm. I suppose maybe you're talking from a safety perspective.
Yes.
Have you lost the phones?
Yes.
I haven't lost the phones, and I won't be changing my phone, which I got in 2023. Mm-hmm. Because I understand the impact that this technology creating technology has on those who come from the countries where the raw material is sourced to create all this technology, you know. So I feel like also having the latest gadget is a status symbol. And if we could just change our minds to be like, we don't care about that.
We don't care
about the latest this,
no,
having a car, having the, just this individualistic way of life. We don't care about that. We prefer community. So much could change, you know.
And
so,
I think the country we live in is such an... Why am I getting emotional? The country we live in is such an eye-opener to how important it is to no longer think of the self.
Yes.
Because we're in a water crisis, you know. We're load shedding, all of that stuff. And it needs to be, as you're saying, Pop, it needs to be an eye-opener to us to consider more than the things... More than what we think is important at the moment. Because it's not... I think about Joburg life, you'll find that, like, somebody who's an entrepreneur probably has a laptop, an iPad, a phone. What else?
And they
Apple
keep
Watch.
Saying, and I need
and
more.
Just,
oh, the latest, have you seen the latest one?
Jeez.
No, I need to get my hands on that, you know?
It's very individualistic, and it's very, like, greedy.
Yeah, you don't need all that, guys.
That's true. Even with the clothes that we buy and everything like that, you don't need to keep changing clothes. You're buying, we don't want to buy secondhand. Mm. We thrift, and the type of thrifting we do, I'd like to say thrift. Me, I consider my dunus, I want a CBD. That's thrifting to me.
Yeah.
Not going to a shop where they put like a jacket that costs 1,000 rand, that ain't thrifting. You know, so we like, it's like also in the clothes we wear, in everything, in everything we do, we need to be very mindful about, do we have a lot of consumerism?
Yeah.
Is our lifestyle very...
Actually something I also look at in my clothes. I don't know if you guys notice, I repeat clothes.
Yes.
I'm not the type of person who every week I'm coming out with something new, makeup, hair, la la la, nails. Because that's all plastic, you know.
Yes.
So I pick a wardrobe for the season, and some clothes make it through more than one season. Mm. And I wear that, and I'm actually trying to anyone who's noticing, I'm trying to convey this message that it's okay to repeat clothes. You'll still be successful in life. My show is successful. I don't have nice hair. I don't have nice clothes. But can you see that in this world, you can still make it without having the latest everything and multiple of everything. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yo, I'd like to wrap.
No, we still have time. No,
really?
Okay, we still have time. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I have a few more questions then to ask.
Great, great.
At least like 15.
Okay.
15. Okay. 15 more questions.
No,
I don't.
15 more minutes.
Okay,
what
fine.
What time is it?
3.
It's 3 o'clock.
We have time.
Okay. Do you think most people actually know where their food is coming from?
No, I didn't know.
No, even
I didn't know where it was coming from, and I certainly didn't know how it was grown.
Yeah.
I had an inkling that it wasn't grown to my advantage.
Yeah.
And pesticides all over the place.
Yeah.
They don't care about Pops, you know, Pops' health. Just buy the damn thing if you want it, you know. But it was... going to the farm visit, that farm that supplies Willy's with carrots and beetroot, I was rest assured, man. I was reassured that some people do care about food, making it as healthy and as natural as possible.
Mm. Like, we literally, when we see Woolies, we only think sustainability because of the bags that they use.
But
way more than that. And, like, when I went to that website, link in description, when I went to the website and I saw how everything is done, how they combat, how they use drones to see which plants are actually in water so that they're not wasting water and just pouring water
just
for everything.
Spraying it everywhere.
That's
and I was just like, when I'm seeing these things it was such an easy way to learn how they're actually taking care of us and the environment.
And the environment.
While giving us this food.
Yes.
And now it's like, I'm very conscious about now where I get my food. That's why I'm like, I actually might be loyal. I might be a loyal Woolies customer after this. Because even like with meat, this thing, you know, this thing of eating meat with every meal is not sustainable.
No, it's not healthy
and it's not good for you. It's not good for the environment. Because even the farming of cattle and meat and all that is bad for the environment.
It emits, emissions.
The carbon emissions and everything.
Yes.
So I'm just like...
People ask me, I naturally don't enjoy a lot of meat. So people will see my plate, it won't have any meat, and they'll be like, "Hey, bo ipinyama."
And really
or if there is meat, this meat is not a lot. It's a inqilenyam. I'm like, guys, do you know what you're saying? Or are you just spewing things? You know, are you just... Yeah, so let's normalize having less.
Mm.
Let's normalize the status symbol being, oh, I'm eating healthy. You know, I'm eating greens, but also then not, what's the word? Oh, I don't know, but not isolating people who can't afford to eat healthy, because sometimes it can be pricey. So, but making it a good thing, maybe not a better than others think, but a good thing that you eat more vegetables than meat.
I agree, we should celebrate it more because
we make it cool.
Yes, make it cool
not
to,
so much
to not have like
others,
three,
cool.
six types of meat.
Yeah, like, oh my god, so green. We battle of the greens.
Yeah,
yes, I love that.
Yeah, battle of the greens.
Oh, that's actually so smart.
Yeah,
battle of the greens. Whose plate is more
greener?
Green?
Yes.
I like that.
I think to close off, also, you know, in honor of this Farming for the Future initiative, we can share some eco-friendly habits of our own that we are encourage other people to accommodate is the word. Is the word?
I don't know. Take up. I don't.
Yeah,
know.
Take up eco-friendly habits. I'll begin.
Yeah.
Recently, I started showering with cold water. So, one that shortens the shower length, I'm saving water.
like this. By half or more than half.
Yes, more than half. So, you do what's necessary and you get the
in and out.
So, I've been taking cold showers. And also, more than it being environmentally friendly, it's very, it's good for your mental health. I've realized it wakes me up. Like,
yes.
Okay, I'm awake. I'm alive. Let's move.
I've heard it's good for the body.
Yes, it is good for the body. I'm not sure how, but it causes the blood to circulate faster in your body, which brings more oxygen to the brain.
Oh my goodness!
So colder showers are actually good for you.
Okay.
So great. Saves water and electricity because then you don't need to keep the geyser on the whole time. So that's. I think I'm going to beat my chest about that. I'm going to be very proud about that because
that's a flex. Yeah, no, that's a flex.
Yeah.
And it's accessible to everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Anyone
can say
that they can't
access hot, I mean, cold water.
Yes.
So it's elitist. Yeah. No, it is not.
Everybody can access cold water. Yes. Like, I kind of do the same thing because, like, we use solar geyser. Mm. So if there's no sun, you use cold water. Mm. Like, we never switch on the geyser at home. If there's no sun, you shower with cold water.
It's gonna be
if
cold.
There's the sun, the water is hot. You're lucky that you're lucky.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how we live. Cool. It saves a lot of electricity. Mm. We took that up mostly for financial reasons. But now I actually see the benefit of it in terms of, like, The environment and everything.
Yeah.
What I do, and I'll live by it, close the tap, guys. Close the tap.
Close
and
the tap.
If there's an option between bathing and showering, shower.
Shower
and don't be that person who leaves the water running and
just
then,
waits
oh
the
my
water.
God, if I catch you, I'll be so mad. I'll be so mad. So that's one habit I do. Another habit of mine is recycling. So
really?
I love, not like recycling, or no, not, let me not say
reusing.
Recycle, reusing.
Yeah.
So I love finding other means for something. So even though this thing was for this, if it can serve another purpose, I'll make it serve the other purpose instead of throwing it away and getting something else.
Mm.
Whether it's like bags, Woolies bags, going and using them for everything, whatever it may be. I'm pro reusing.
Yeah, no, that's
so
cool.
Even need to answer this one.
Let me just run them back.
Yeah, because
you have so many eco-friendly habits.
But yeah, not buying a new phone. Until this one breaks down.
Yes.
So not buying new clothes often, maybe one or two items every now and again, but definitely re-wearing clothes as much as I can. Using road transport. Hitchhiking or sharing ride share as much as I can. I think those are my main three ones.
Beautiful,
and you're cutting meat. I'm not actually actively cutting, so maybe this one is an unfair advantage.
Yeah,
because naturally
I don't like it.
But maybe what I should do is educate my audience to maybe consider taking less per day. So maybe one or two meals, not all three. So challenge yourself.
Yeah.
Well, one meatless.
For breakfast,
you'd be surprised.
I have one chicken in dinner. Mm. That one, even if it's a wing, I'll have that one wing.
Yeah, actually, I'm feeling really guilty.
Some folks have a chicken salad for lunch.
Yeah, it's me.
Braised beef for dinner.
It's me, guys.
And sometimes even in the morning, there'll be leftovers. They'll have those. Then they'll cook more.
I'm so embarrassed.
Don't be, we're all learning.
It's because I didn't know. You see, now I know better.
Yeah, now you know better.
Now I know because I'll have a burger for breakfast.
Exactly.
I'll have a chicken salad for lunch. And I'll have that braised beef for dinner.
Yeah. meat, I can survive.
Yeah, in my defense,
I can survive. Forget about it. I'm Xhosa, so I should be worse than you. They say about Xhosa.
Really?
Yes, Xhosa people love meat.
And booze?
Mm.
We take the cap. So, no, but, you know better, you do better. We're all learning. I'm also picking up some stuff from you guys. For instance, the cold shower thing. Yeah. Never thought of it. It never crossed my mind.
But now I'm going to try it, guys.
Or at least when I'm in cold shower regions, because some countries don't even have hot showers. They don't.
Yeah,
they just don't. So I'll celebrate when I'm there. So I'll stop being like, oh, you guys don't have hot water.
Mm.
I'll be like, oh, an opportunity to do the right thing. Yay.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. An opportunity to do the right thing. Oh, there's one more thing that I wanted to share from Woolies. Is there, Paul mentioned it earlier, this apple can save the world. So it's a campaign built around an interactive web app experience where you get to, I don't know if anybody has played those farming games, where they teach you how to plant the thing, how to take care of the thing, water it, harvest it, all of that. So the web app experience that Woolworths is providing is an opportunity for you to do that, to be very interactive within the farming, well, to get some farming knowledge.
Yes,
and also,
in a fun way.
Yes, in a fun way. And also to I think conscientize yourself of the initiatives that Woolworths is trying to put forward, like the less carbon emissions, saving water,
and hopefully even implement those in your own garden.
Yes.
You know, on a smaller scale. Because I think that's the most important thing, that corporates don't run with it on their own. Because we all contribute, right? We all have a carbon footprint. We all do the wrong thing.
Yes.
So the corporates can lead the conversation and encourage us,
but
we also, in our own capacity, need to
take these things at home. Like, and I actually went to the website, This Apple Can Save the World. I went there, and I saw that it was a way for you to learn about the program, like Farming for the Future, in a way that is interactive and in a way that keeps you actually wanting to know more. Yeah. So literally, you'll be learning and then they'll be like, see how this bug thing is zoom in. And I was like, I'm there trying to zoom because I actually want to see what this insect does. And I learned so much while doing that. And it doesn't take long, guys. Yeah. You can literally learn about how you can help save the world, actually. Farm
Thank
for
you
the
so
future.
Thank you so much. Oh my God. The day you have to go, and you're probably not going to see you until.
No, but I'll be doing popsicle meetups, quite a few.
Oh.
I did one in Durban. Lovely, Durban. Oh. Love you. I'll be doing one this coming Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Nola Santon, but unfortunately, it's already sold out. So, Cape Town, watch out for me. I'll be doing more. I'll just because this season I want to interact because we've been talking online.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been in the talking stage for years now. It's time to meet up. Let's go on a date, guys.
Yeah. I love
it. Let's take it to the next level.
I love that because a part of me feels like when we met outside, I was like, oh, I need to maximize the opportunity now before she leaves and she never comes back. So like, Poppy is like one of those creators where you just don't know where she is at what time, but it was in real-ish time.
Yeah.
And then also when she's one moment here, and then the next...
I never even know where I am. I can't tell you where I'll be in April. I cannot tell
you. See?
That is so fair, and that's a beautiful life to live.
The earth didn't take Poppy and lock her.
Yeah.
Lock her inside. But thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, ladies,
for
having
me. I told
you
that you are so lively. Like, you brought so much life to the studio. And even just, like, your energy is very light, very bright, which is something that we experience on our phones and on our screens,
really?
But
in
glad
house,
you get to see
I'm glad
it
translates. I'm glad it's
no, it definitely does.
Okay.
I was so nervous, and
really?
This actually
Don't
became
uppity.
No, not even. Just
okay.
Nervous about the experience in
okay,
itself, and it ended up becoming a conversation.
Yeah.
And it,
thank you also, guys, to you for making it fun.
Oh,
for making it a fun conversation, talking about sustainability, conservation.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you for coming through. We do hope you come back so that we can
ask you
more questions.
Yeah, more questions,
about your
more
travel,
conversation.
More conversation.
Definitely,
please
ladies.
Do let us know when you're back in Joburg. Even
thank
though
you.
We're boring, Gauteng is very boring.
Yeah.
No, we'll meet you where
actually,
you are.
Right?
Actually,
I'll say
yes,
we'll
guys,
meet you.
Careful what you say.
No, I mean
no,
it.
I will take you up on it.
I mean
no.
It.
No,
I
no, we're real. We're for
are
real.
Are you still ready to go bond this year?
Definitely.
Okay, let's go.
Let's
find the elephant. Will we do the ayahuasca? I don't know.
They actually have a form, their own form of ayahuasca there.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe I should. Yeah, I'll definitely try it.
Of course you will.
I have to.
You want to do the cues?
Yeah, you know what to do. Subscribe, like, share, comment. Comment like, ooh, what emoji do you want our audience to comment?
The unicorn.
Okay. A unicorn emoji. And please, guys, go check out Poppy if you don't know about her show, on her TikTok, on
and
her close
Instagram,
friends,
yes,
Instagram,
Twitter, yeah.
Everywhere. You can literally find Poppy anywhere.
All right, we'll see you guys next week, Monday, 3 p.m. Bye.